This is Amanda.
And this is Chris.
And this is Vocal Herspective.
Hello, Akka family. We are back with another episode of Vocal Herspective. I am so excited to introduce our guest today, Kathleen Hansen. Welcome, Kathleen. I have been waiting for this interview since I started co-hosting this podcast. So I'm very excited to speak with you tonight. So welcome. Or today, wherever you're listening.
Yes, we always forget that it's not just an evening podcast. It's a, you know, podcast. You can listen whenever you want.
I don't know how people...
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
But welcome. We're so glad to have you here.
And speaking of here, where are you calling in from? Where are you talking to us from, Kathleen?
I am in San Diego County.
Nice.
Much better weather than we're having here.
73 degrees, light breeze off the ocean. You know how it is.
Hey, it was pretty warm here today.
Yes, actually, DC had nice weather today, but it's not always. We go from right now, we're in the time of year where it goes from the nice 73 degree days to tomorrow it'll be 33 and maybe a chance of ice. So,
yeah, you just have an entire wardrobe of all four seasons that you wear for the whole day and you just peel and put layers back on and take them off. It's amazing.
Got it.
But anyway,
my closet would be so small if I lived in California. It would be great.
It's true.
So let's get into why we're actually here today to chat with Kathleen. What about you, Amanda? Do you want to start? Want to kick it off?
Sure. Many of us know you through YouTube. And right before we started the recording, we were talking about how we feel like we probably feel like we know you better than we do. This is our first time actually speaking face to face. But for people that aren't familiar with your work, give us a quick background of who you are.
Sure thing. So I went to school for music education and I became mostly a high school band director, but also did choir and band and middle school and some college. Got my master's in instrumental conducting. And kind of fell into barbershop through an instrumental colleague of mine who was about to go win the Barbershop Harmony Society International Quartet Contest. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm in this quartet. And I'm like, what? And fortunately at that time, San Diego Chorus, which I now direct, was en route to winning international. And so I showed up to a rehearsal with, you know, I mean, I sang a little bit, but mostly I was an instrumentalist and they were doing this really cool stuff. And they had like a gazillion people on the risers. We went to contest that year with 144 people. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow. If you saw the faces, won. I always forget this isn't a video podcast, but my mouth was just gaping open. That's incredible.
I was just thinking that I'm like, you're going to narrate that?
Yep.
So the director was Kim, now Vaughn, at the time Kim Holbert. And so I kind of had this really amazing high-end entrance into barbershop. So my friend was in a revival, so they won in 1998. I then got to know San Diego Chorus, Harbor Lights, Masters of Harmony, Nightlife, Acapella Gold, Fanatics. So that was all kind of like late 90s, early 2000s when I was just a pup. I joined when I was 24. And pretty quickly, Kim was like, oh, we were singing Stars and Stripes Forever. And so one day, I'd only been in the chorus for a few months. And Kim was like, hey, Kathleen, you're a band director. Can you come down in front of the chorus and make them sound like a band? And so I was kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool. And like a week later, she's like, oh, we decided to make you an assistant director.
Surprise.
Surprise. Yeah, I had no say. It was just, we're doing this.
Voluntolding. Yeah, yes. Voluntolding is the best, right? Haven't we all gotten into barbershop by being voluntold? I think
a little bit.
Maybe so. And I will say, and I'm sure that this will come up, but I almost didn't join because the culture at the time was very red lipstick, false eyelashes, all-in-ones, sparklies, which like isn't really my vibe. But the music was so good. I'm like, I can put up with this. And so, you know, now
I don't think you're alone out there in that feeling.
Exactly. Our culture's changed a little bit, which I love. And because, you know, I think that stuff's great if you're into it, but not everybody is.
Yeah.
So I was involved in leadership in the chorus. I got a lot of time, kind of get my footing, you know, get my feet wet, so to speak, in a very high level environment. I had really good mentors. I learned from a lot of really fantastic people. And Kim had hoped from early on that I would eventually replace her, even though it's not the old director's decision, right? But she would drop lots of hints and she'd be like, okay, in about 5 years, I think I'll retire. Okay, now 4 years, I'll think I'll retire. We got to the 4.5, 3 years mark and I got a call from my team leader that said, hey, we just got a call from Kim. She's going to go ahead and retire at the end of this contest cycle. So Kim, it came before we anticipated, but for that last year, it was really great because we got to go in as co-directors and I kind of got a more you know, it was, it's hard to transition into the directorship of a kind of like a machine of a chorus like that. So I feel really lucky that I wasn't totally green, you know, I was prepared.
And I'm just still fascinated that your expertise and your, you know, where you were a band teacher, you know, and I think right? I find it because I was a band, I'm still an instrumentalist myself. And where I grew up, you kind of had to choose early on in your life, band or choir. But then once I got to high school, my mom pulled some strings and I was able to do all of the things. But it's not a common, there's a few of you out there. But it's not a common thing to have band directors really coming into the choral world. It stays pretty separate. So I find it really fascinating that you have become such a choral person as well. But I think it now makes a whole lot of sense when I think about your warmups and I think of the newness and the things that are different from all the other warmups out there. I now think I can see a little bit why.
I think that singing barbershop helps me be a better band director, and being a band director made me a better barbershop musician. And being a music education major, not just a performance major, I had to learn all the instruments, right? Like hand me an oboe, I'm not going to be great on it, but I'm going to know how to use it. But when I approached voice, to me, it was learning another instrument. While it is maybe a bit more of a personal instrument because it's inside you, instruments always felt that personal to me anyway. So learning voice as another instrument, it felt very natural to me, and I wanted to know what made it work. And on the other hand, it has always bothered me when people make big sweeping comments about the voice that aren't necessarily scientifically accurate. I mean, I'm fine with like, let's use our imaginations and feel things, but I think we owe it to one another to talk about when we're talking about something that's our imagination and our feeling versus like, this is actually what's happening inside the body.
Yeah, this is a mechanic that's working in there.
Right.
And I think, and it's like, nice that you can see that it with a band instrument, you teach, you know, band students, band directors try forever to get the player to play more than just the notes on the page, to, you know, speak through your instrument, sing through your instrument. And there's, you know, things that they're physically doing. It's not just like in the brain. And so it's kind of cool that you can say, hey, you know, when a instrument's doing this with their voice, you know, I'm fascinated with that pink trombone thing that's on the website. I don't know, people, it sounds going to sound dirty. It's going to sound terrible. It's not going to sound like what you want to go look up, but it shows you how the voice works. And it's kind of made me think about it, because just because they call it the pink trombone, it made me imagine the trombone and the instrument. And, you know, knowing my very little limited knowledge that I learned of instrumental education when I was doing my degree as well, there's so much more to playing a brass instrument than just pushing down a valve. You know, there's singing and things like that. And I find it awesome when a band teacher can sing and when a singer can play an instrument. And I think they're more alike than they are different.
And I think it's really helped me, because some people, to be very honest, some people have a knack for singing and they just, without really a lot of instruction, are just like that. I had to fight a little bit to learn how to use my own instrument. So I feel like I probably often can explain it in a way that someone who it came naturally to didn't experience, because it was a little more natural to them. So I think I can connect with singers that way. And it's not, you know, I think of the Music Man, the Think System, like this isn't the Think System, not for instrumental.
But also quoting the Music Man, they're not that wrong. It is sustained talking, you know, so like if you can, if you can speak, you know, if you can speak, you know, you unless you have something, you know, that's physically stopping you, if you can have a speaking voice, you can have a singing voice. It may not be the singing voice that you're looking for right away, but it's in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's get into, you know, what you do with that knowledge. How do you share that with people? And Amanda, maybe you can talk a bit more about the app that we are so lucky to have.
Right before we started, you said we're celebrating y'all 5 years of your YouTube channel. Yeah. And then how long ago did the app come out? The app is a little bit more recent.
It is. So 5 years ago, this week, as of this recording, is when the world shut down. And I was directing 3 choruses at that time.
Oh my gosh.
And all of a sudden we were cut off from doing the thing. So I decided to just jump online. I'd been reading up a little bit about YouTube channels, kind of toyed with one, but I didn't really know what I would do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this would be a really good time to just put some instruction out there. Keep my singer singing. Give you something to do. Because a lot of people who sing in choruses, they do it because they don't necessarily like to sing alone.
Yeah,
we just
that's
had
true.
This conversation. Sounds very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. And so people are isolated. They're not really talking to anybody. And of course, my first video, I think it's probably still up. I said something like, I'll be here doing a daily warm up with you until we're done with the pandemic.
Not knowing, like 2.5 years later, you're like, oh,
not
okay.
knowing, right? Because they were like, oh, we'll just shut down for 2 weeks and then everything will be fine. Narrator, it was not, in fact, 2 weeks. So after figuring that out, I went to weekly, and I have published a YouTube video every Monday for 5 years. Every now
that's,
and then, like on a Tuesday.
That's quite a commitment.
I was just looking at your beautiful YouTube page, and you are up to 21,000 subscribers. I don't have like it down to the hundredth or anything. And 305 videos. Not too shabby.
Isn't that fun? One of my videos yesterday hit the 100,000 view mark for the first time.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
please tell me it's the cats. Please tell me it's the cat warm-ups. Just
Chris is obsessed with your cat warm-ups.
It's morning warm-ups. I imagine that my original studio cat, Celeste the cat, makes an appearance because they usually...
Well, you have to imagine during the pandemic, I was a new chorus director for a men's a cappella group here, a BHS chorus here in Leesburg, Virginia. And I mean, we have roughly, 15 to 18 guys, I think at that time, average age over 50.
Yeah.
And here I show up saying, you're going to love these. Let's go. And we did cat warmups for months.
Amazing.
And they eventually were like, I find myself making the cat sounds more than I do the other sounds. So you have touched even the tiniest little corner of Leesburg, Virginia, and the small Old Dominion chorus. So I was hoping, they're amazing. There's so many, and there's something for everybody. You never get bored. You don't have, if you're like me, who just cannot stand doing the same warm up every single day. Thank you, ADHD.
Same. Hey.
Yeah, Kathleen doesn't leave you hanging. She gives you all the different things that you can do. It's really great.
It's been really fun for me for a couple of reasons. I mean, my main target at the beginning was pretty much barbershoppers because, that's what I was doing. I also direct a gala chorus from the Gay and Lesbian Chorus Association, and they're mostly US, but also, Canada, Latin America, and some affiliates, kind of like our barbershop groups. Like, there are some affiliates from around the world, but it's been amazing connecting with people from literally all over the world. They leave me comments, they interact. I have a couple fans of the YouTube channel who just like to interact a lot, and they tell me what they're doing. I ended up teaching a woman for a little while from Bangladesh. I just connected with a man who is he works with Israelis and Palestinians, and he uses music to kind of promote wellness and therapy. He works with people who are displaced from their homes, and he's a clinical therapist, and he uses music as part of his therapy. And there was something I did in one of my videos, and he contacted me to say, hey, I really liked this. I think it would be useful in my practice. How did you do X, Y, and Z? So I have people from all over the world, which has been cool. And then the other fun thing is when I go to conventions, people are like, hey, you're that person. I know you. I've sung with you. As a matter of fact, just a week and a half ago, I was at a concert by a wonderful artist named Melanie Damore. And
we love Melanie Damore. We're both UUs.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, Melanie's fantastic.
Yep, that's my other world. I'm a music director at the local Unitarian Church.
Ah, that's great. Yeah, so Melanie I've known for several years, and she was in town working with a university in North County. So she's like, hey, I'm going to be here. Come check it out. I brought a chorus friend with me who I knew would love it. And afterwards, we were hanging out taking pictures, and they had bust in like a field trip of high school kids. And these girls ran up to me. They're like, hey, I know you. We've sung your with our choir director, your YouTube channel. So we took pictures. That happened again when I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago for a completely different conference. These college kids came up to me and they're like, we know you. We know you from your channel. And so it's been so neat to be able to connect with people, know that people are exploring their voices, knowing that people are learning to love their own voices and become their own best voice teachers. And one of my videos, one of my early videos, is called Learn to Love Your Own Voice. And I know BHS turned it into a blog post and featured it because so many people were all of a sudden confronted with their own voices by themselves at that time. And so learning to find ways to appreciate our own instrument and what comes out of our faces, I think has been really, it's been a journey.
And now you've also endeavored for a doctorate degree.
Correct.
And you're speaking my language with all of what you're studying. So let's get into that a little bit too, because I think it connects a little bit with some of the people that have reached out to you and what they're using your warm-ups to create in their own spaces.
Absolutely. So with my doctorate, I mean, it's kind of something that I always wanted to do, but it wasn't really fitting into my life. I went to college, I got my credential, I started teaching. And if you know any high school band directors, that is not a job, that is a lifestyle. So I was band directing, and then I went back for my master's. And at that point, I was directing at a middle school and a high school, teaching some college classes, directing an athletic band at SDSU, and directing two choruses. And I'm like, well, I just need to calm down after that.
One of these days,
one of these days,
I won't have the schedule.
Yeah, it did not. Well, what happened was, though, my body shut down because I developed a couple of chronic illnesses. And I had to completely change the trajectory of my entire life because I could no longer put in 14-hour days on a regular basis. So that took me out of schools, but I still maintained my courses because I always felt best at night and the afternoons mm-hmm. and the evenings. So I was still able to do that. And in that process, I mean, at that point, I didn't think I was going to ever be able to do anything else. I was very disabled. I was bedbound for 90% of the time. But as I started to kind of figure it out, I finally got diagnosed with dysautonomia and celiac disease and heart stuff, all these different things. As I started to figure out what my body needed to keep me literally upright, I started dreaming a little bit about what I wanted to do next. I've always been a what's next person. And I started thinking about a doctoral program. In Southern California, there are a handful of options, but nothing immediately in San Diego that I wanted to do. There's like a UCSD has a very like modern music program, which is all, I mean, modern.
Oh boy.
Then,
like no offense to the like, modern musicians like out clips, there.
Right, but. Right. Like paper clips and screws and things in your piano and like, yeah, like playing with like the bottom of the piano versus the keys. Yeah, just, yeah.
A former assistant director of mine did this wonderful doctorate, but her final performance was like using radios and like 10 radios, like and a live performance and like sounds, like found sounds and things. So it was fascinating, but not
very cool, but not my alley. Not my thing.
Totally. And my other options were like the LA area. And even though on a map, LA looks really close to San Diego, the traffic sucks.
I mean, nothing in LA is close to each other. So I can't imagine anything outside of LA being close to LA.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started poking around to see what I could do. And I found that Boston University has this amazing online program. They were doing online programs before it was cool.
Online grad programs are pretty incredible.
It was amazing. And it was just my speed. It really helped. It was perfect for my ADHD brain because it was intense 7-week courses, one at a time. 7 weeks on, 1 week off. 7 weeks on, 1 week off. And then a couple little breaks. And you're in a cohort of like 28 other students or so. And I feel like, you know, we really got to know each other. And a lot of the classes were primarily asynchronous, but met like once a week. So it's a research degree. I'm getting my DMA, which is a doctorate of musical arts. I will be a doctor of musical arts. And it was 2 years of classes. And I've recently started my dissertation. And I love it. I love the topics. I love the vibe. I love the, there's a heavy social justice aspect of this program. And I mentioned earlier that the working title of my doctorate is Trauma-Informed Practices in Adult Community Choruses.
She is speaking directly to my heart right now,
yes.
Chris.
Oh my gosh. I was like, did you just propose to Amanda? Like, this is incredible.
Funneling that right at you. So
that's
in essence,
incredible. I'm like, I'm breaking it down right now in my head. That's such a great, this is definitely a great dissertation because I can't remember reading anything about
it. So in lay terms, we have a majority of adults have experienced traumatic things in their lives. And a certain percentage of them are trauma affected, whether it's PTSD or just something else that has triggers. You put everybody in a room together and you are kind of asking everyone to bare their souls and open their hearts and make music. And that's really hard to do if people are trauma affected, if they can't connect with one another, they can't connect with themselves, if they're acting out. I've had singers with unresolved life trauma who would have, you know, what we would probably call behavioral issues.
Right.
You know, whether it's snapping or yelling. I've several times as a director, I've heard from people who have traumatic backgrounds that I remind them of their father for whom they could never do anything right. Right. Even though my personal vibe, like I try to be very encouraging and uplifting, but you're still asking people to do things and make changes. And even just that act can be triggering to some people. So the thing is, what can we do in our organizations to uphold safety and security and autonomy and voice and choice and empowerment and communication? And what are we doing to mitigate social and historical issues around things like gender and race and things that kind of tend to pile up and make it really hard to walk into a room and then just turn yourself on and be loving and open and make beautiful creative music?
Right. I mean, I was thinking of the microaggressions that keep people away from environments like this, or coming from my experience in the therapy chair, people that really could benefit from all of the great things that singing and the singing community can do for you, but for whatever reason, the trauma keeps them away.
Right.
I don't know many groups that I've sung with that have had kind of like a covenant or a sort of conversation or even a paragraph about your mission. You know, I mean, I know many groups do now, but you bring up a really good point. It's like, we all show up, but we definitely don't show up in the same position. You know, we don't show up coming with the same backgrounds, but yet as a director, I now want to make sure I'm creating a space that's safe. I want to learn more. So this is very great. I mean, because I've never really asked if anything I've ever done has made anyone feel, you know,
right,
just like, this isn't for me.
In academic circles, current teacher training does cover a lot of this, but a lot of our directors have not been through that training, especially folks who are older than. So in education, not only is there training for teachers, but students are compelled to stay there. And in our organization, if it's not a good fit, if it is triggering, if it is emotionally upsetting, if it doesn't feel safe, people will just leave or they won't join. So we don't have, I would like my chorus to be a more representative of a cross-section of the county where I live. And if I'm missing certain subsets of the population, I think deeply about, is there something we're doing that does not feel safe and secure for certain singers that are not in the room? And sometimes we get feedback, but sometimes we don't, because often they'll show up, they'll be like, peace out, this isn't for me.
And that's painful. I know our chorus, we pride ourselves on trying to be welcoming to everyone.
Yeah.
And yet there, I already am thinking of ways. I'm like, I don't know how welcome I would feel if I walked in the room and I was X, Y, or Z. And then walking into the larger barbershop community, it's like, right, we might create this environment here, but then how comfortable are they going to feel when we go into the larger community? Is that going to serve them too? Because it's a big part of who we are, is we take this little community and be part of something bigger.
What's really hard for all singing organizations is that we all live in states or areas that may not also fit our group's goals, but we have, this is why we come together, because there's nowhere else that feels good yet. Like, for example, traveling to a state that just doesn't feel as safe for a large majority of human beings, I have so much empathy for that, because I understand that the groups are like, but we love you, you know, but that doesn't, we don't run the world. And so it's like, people are coming to us for each week, maybe once a week, maybe every other week, and we're trying to meet them where they're at. And that's really hard to do if you've never had any kind of training or any kind of resources to help you navigate that, especially as a director. And in many of our organizations, those directors are older, they've been around, and they've gotten into it because they've just really dedicated their time to that hobby and they know the hobby really well, but
right,
there's more.
And so I don't know if I said it explicitly, but I direct the San Diego Chorus. And so, you know, I've worked really hard to make deliberate decisions about what I just said, getting people in the room who look more like our county in several ways, whether it's age, race, religion, gender, sexuality. And we have a robust rookie program where we, our first year people, they have this entire year of curriculum where we talk to them about different songs and how contests work and how having a costume works. And we've even changed the way we do costuming so that people have a lot more choice in the matter. Same with making the makeup a little bit more contemporary and giving options for folks who might not want something that's quite so glam. But one of the things we do talk about is what happens when we get to contest and how there is a broader culture that, yes, is changing, but that it's going to feel a little bit different than our cute little safe space, relatively safe. There's no such thing as a safe space. we try really hard. So yeah, we try to bring it up and we try to talk about the history of the organization and how, you know, we don't have as many people of color because of things that happened 55, however many years ago in Sweet Adelines that we've been trying to make up for in the last several years, but being very aware of the history and saying, hey, we gotta own up to this stuff. And here are the conversations we've had about women versus like non-binary singers, and where do people sit in this organization? How does that work? How does that function together? We have several non-binary folks in my chorus, and talking about the broader conversation in the barbershop world of how gender and voice type and all of those things work together.
Yeah.
Sucks to have strangers argue about your existence.
It really does. And it was really nice to see the other day Sweet Adelines put out an announcement, you know, we aren't all sisters.
Yeah, I think that was one of the regions, region 15, I think. And I thought that was cool because like I'm a woman, but I don't like being called a lady, you know? And I think that that all kind of goes into the same thing. Like what broad language can we use to create these exciting spaces? And that's the thing, like people feel like maybe it's punitive or something, but to me, it's just, it's opening, it's growing, it's experiencing new things, and it's just gonna make everything grow and blossom and bring in more people who then can experience the things that so many people already love.
And what do we get by making a place more welcoming, more accepting, more, like, it's hard for me to understand what we're fearing by doing all of that.
It is hard. And it's going to be lots of continued conversations and lots of hard conversations and lots of deep listening and lots of confronting our own biases. I know we just got really deep, but it's really important. And it's very integral to what we do. We're like, we want people to feel safe so that they can make art. They can be creative. They can make connections. That's really hard to do if you're not comfortable in a space. I think it's so important to making music together. I don't think we can separate the issue.
No, we really can't. And it's, you know, and it's no, like, it's hard to not talk about politics. Chris and I live right in the heart of the, I have lots of words for it right now, but we live in the heart of it all right now. And it's hard when you're seeing what a lot of people used to consider politics become more, this is not politics. This is people's existence. This is people's
humanity.
Life.
Humanity is literally the word I was about to say.
It's humanity. And I've just never understood why we cannot see the difference and how we cannot see that politics directly in most situations is not tied to humanity. That's what they're holding. I mean, most, I feel like the good ones are holding on to whatever shred of humanity is there, but humanity is not politics, and they don't need to be the same. There needs to be humanity in politics, but we have to have humanity first. And we have to start with humans. Yeah. We can't start with some policy or some, you know, electing the right person. It really helps, but we have to start with how we treat each other.
I feel the same way in our rehearsals. I feel the same way with our voices. Like we are people first. We have feelings and
the hard conversations, I feel like it's weird to watch the whole world be like, we have hard conversations to have now. And I'm like, well, in our world, we've been having hard conversations for several years now. And there's been a lot of pushback. But there's also been a lot of people that have said, you know what, I never thought of it that way before. And I'm hoping, I don't know, like, how do the hard conversations go? Like, what does that look like when you're the leader and a hard conversation has to be had?
It's hard. I know we just said that word. It's challenging. But, you know, I center a lot of my work through empathy. When I was invited sometime over the apart times to put on a DEI workshop for the region that Texas is a part of, we couldn't use those words because people wouldn't show up. So I'm like, how can we create language and understanding that centers on empathy? And when I teach at regions, when I teach at international schools, the first conversation I have about that is, think of a time that you were treated poorly just for being who you are, whether it was your age or your gender or sex or skin color or size or accent or like whatever it is. Like everyone has been through that at some level. So if we can start with that and then say, now, can you imagine what it might be like to be this other person? And I have had a lot of people say, I've never thought of it that way. And I want that for everyone in all sectors, whether it's humanity, whether it's singing. Oh, I've never thought of it that way. Not more of that.
It's a good start. More of that, please. Well, we could talk to you all day, but I do want to get, I mean, I could talk about this topic all day. I do want to circle back a little bit to all the other things that you've been working on, including your app, because I think this is helping people stay in the world. I think we see the ladies in our chorus pull it out all the time, and they're like, I've been working on this, or I like this one. Can we do this one?
It's still great to me. So many years later, have people like, oh my gosh, have you heard of these warm-ups on YouTube, you know? And so for you, that's like, oh, well, it's a longevity game, you know, like, yay, somebody's always going to need warm-ups. But it also is just a testament to, it works. It's out there. People are using them, and it works. We're all the way on the other side of this big country that we live in, and you're still needed. We all need to be able to use our voice. It's in so many ways.
I appreciate that. I got to tell you, when I was out, it was during the first year of the shutdown, and I was hiking, and I was walking up this mountain in town called Coles Mountain, and all of a sudden I thought, you know what, I could turn this into an app. And it took a long time to kind of get the right direction, because we had some stumbling blocks along the way, which could fill another podcast set episode entirely. But eventually I got it launched. It was a year ago December, so it's been like a year and 4 months. And I just got over 1,000 subscribers, which is nice. Really fun. But it's great because, like, YouTube's cool, but this is like, it's fast. It's like, pull up your playlist, play it. And you can have it offline. You can download it for later. You can save favorites. And it's got like over 50 something. I think I'm at 56 playlists. So people can just zip through the app and be like, oh, this is the one I want to do today. Stick it on their car, stick it in their hotel room. I had the Sweet Adeline Queens of Harmony from previous, I think last, I can't remember which year, came up to me. They're wearing their crowns. They're all in their stuff. They're still carrying their flowers. They're like, Kathleen, we warm up with you all the time. We used you this morning.
That's got to feel so good when you hear that.
So fun. And I'm just like, I'm just a trumpet player from Cupertino.
But look, queens, use your app. Well, for people that have not downloaded it yet, where is it that they can look to find this? What's it called?
The full name is Vocal Warmups with Kathleen, and it is on the App Store. It's on the Google Play Store. I am very Googleable at this point, which is also wild. So if you just type in Kathleen Hansen anywhere, you'll find me. If you just type in Kathleen Warmups, you'll find me. I'm not the Kathleen Hansen who's an attorney in San Diego.
Good distinction.
You put in Kathleen Hansen music, Kathleen Hansen singing, Kathleen Hansen vocal, like, you'll find all my stuff. You can find my website. I've got khansenmusic.com for my non-app stuff, and my app stuff is all at warmupswithkathleen.com.
Perfect. Well, we could sit here. There's so many layers to you and all of your work. I would love to keep talking. We promise our listeners 30 minutes. Darn it. Why did we do that? Mostly because I have to edit this and make sure that Fair. It comes out every week. So Fair. I know you understand that part. But thank you for the many layers of work that you've been putting into this community and beyond. And I know it's expanding. I've heard other people mention your name and your apps and your work outside of barbershop too. So it is getting beyond just the barbershop world. So thank you for everything that you bring to this community on so many levels.
I appreciate that. And just to throw out there, I do, one of the other things I love to do is I love coaching. So if anybody wants to, you know, bring me out, let's do it. Let's hang out in person.
And we've told you, when our guests offer, please take them up on it. We spend a lot of time figuring out who we want to bring on this show, and there's good reason they're all here. So thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us, Kathleen. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
I'll see you next time.
Thanks, and we'll see you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.